This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1.
And welcome to episode 236 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 4th of May, 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Your hosts today are Brad, Jody, Steve, and myself, Andrew. We have a special guest today, Roberto Hoyos from Throwboy Pillow in Seattle, Washington. Man, they're fun. Roberto is here to talk to us about his Kickstarter campaign, so I'm looking forward to that for Throwboy Pillows. How's your day, Brad?
Hey, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, thank you.
And what's news? What's been going on with you?
Yeah, just actually been a bit sick this week, so sort of had a cold, bit under the weather, but I've sort of been trying to work and get through it, and just a little bit down, but still trying to keep on top of things. And this morning I've been out with my wife looking at houses in the local area. So we're sort of looking to buy a house at the moment, which is sort of exciting but a bit daunting, but it's been fun.
All right. That sounds good, mate. Sounds good. Steve, what's up? Welcome back to the podcast, mate. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Actually, I do got something. I'm hoping to do live on location broadcasts as happen using the Teradek Cube. I'm hoping I got to wait for my 4G modem to come in. And once we get some interesting news stuff coming up, and I'm going to try to do some local broadcasting.
Sweet. Sounds good. Sounds good. Also, we have Jody on. Hey, Jody, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Brad. Thank you. Thank you.
And good to have you on. We have less people on today's show, which is good.
Sometimes that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not bad at all. Last week's show was great, thanks to Bev and everyone else who did the birthday thing. It was pretty. It was fantastic.
Did you get the copy of your birthday song, Brad?
I did indeed. It was very funny.
It was pretty cool. Bev actually found that one and thought it was a bit of a laugh. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially the woof woof part.
Yeah, I loved that part.
Great to have Sam and Chris on as little guests last week to help wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, so definitely.
It was a lot of fun.
Yep, thanks to them guys as well. And Andrew, we went to the Pancake Parlor on Wednesday, mate.
We did, Brad. That was becoming a little bit of a common thing for us, isn't it? Sort of a month catching up.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to catch up and have a bit of chat what's been going on with Zafa and them sort of things.
Yeah, exactly, and seeing what you're up to. And you also, on that day, went and did a bit of purchasing, which we'll go through a bit later. I think there's a news story about that, so we'll run through that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, we had a busy day.
Now, I just want to mention something before I forget, because I know I'm going to forget this, but Jody, you'll probably find this very funny. Me and Andrew went into a candy store in Melbourne here. And I think it's called, what was it called, Andrew? Candy Train, I think it's called.
Yeah, it's Candy something.
Candy Train. But anyway, I'll get to the point. I was just picking out buying some lollies and stuff. And the girl Andrew heard her too. She said, he's heard she's from the USA.
No, it was just a customer.
Yeah,
we're walking through customer, and she turns around and she goes, "Ugh, Hershey's, can you get that in the USA? And we've just looked at each other like, what? It was the funniest little moment.
I couldn't believe it.
You had to be there.
I couldn't believe it.
You had to be there, but it was just so funny. It was just this teenage girl is like, Hershey's, can you get that over like in the USA or something? Yeah, you can get it in America, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Very funny. But I
think they're made in America, Hershey's.
Yeah, they are.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they are. But I find Hershey's really, really a bit different to what you get over here. And I'd rather eat the Cadbury chocolate. Have you tried it, Andrew? Or?
Me too, actually. Yeah.
Well, you know, guys, I don't know if you realize this, but not far from where I live, there's a town in Pennsylvania called Hershey. And it is the home of Hershey chocolate. And they have, I mean, the whole place smells like chocolate when you're driving through. And they actually have street lamps that are shaped like Hershey Kisses.
Oh, wow.
You can go through a tour of the chocolate factory. And it's a little Willy Wonka-ish. But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Hershey, Pennsylvania.
That is so cool.
It is very cool. Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
I actually quite like Lindt. Well, while we're talking about chocolate, I actually quite like Lindt chocolate and European chocolate.
Nice. I actually like the Cadbury.
We like European chocolate too, and I think any kind of chocolate is just fine.
I agree. Yeah. And also, talking about chocolate, Jody, we are sending you a package very soon, so hang in there, okay?
Absolutely, we are.
So don't forget,
I'm
we
still
are.
Waiting for my Vegemite.
No, don't worry, that is coming. Don't worry about it. That is coming.
It's all coming. Yeah. You're getting one, Jody.
You are getting one of the best packages ever that anyone's ever got.
Well, so, I'll send you guys back some Hershey. How's that?
Yeah, nice. Just make sure it's if you want everything.
Yeah, and also we'll send something to Steve maybe soon as well. We got Roberto on. Hey, Roberto, welcome back, mate.
Hey. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
And you've been on here before a few times, actually. It's been pretty cool to have you on.
Yeah. I'm glad that we could coordinate finally.
Yeah,
sorry
definitely.
For being – I got the time zones mixed up again.
All good. all right, so we'll jump into some news first, and then we'll come back to you, have a chat to you about your project and stuff. Jody, you got some news there?
Yeah, I do. First in the news, smart television adoption is growing rapidly, and the market is now ripe for Apple iTV. According to a new report from media research firm TGG via GigaOM, 14% of households with broadband internet owned an Apple TV, a Roku box, or a similar streaming platform during a study in 2012. Now, while that may sound impressive, smart TVs have been slowly taking over the connected TV market. 25% of households owned a smart TV that comes equipped with apps, such as those offered by manufacturers like Samsung and LG. Smart TV adoption grew from 12% in 2011 to 25% in 2012, while connected set-top box adoption grew to just 2 percentage points year over year. So while not all smart TV owners use the smart capabilities, 69% of users surveyed connected their smart TVs to the internet, indicating that roughly two-thirds of smart TV owners take advantage of TV functionality. I don't know about you guys, but I've got one of those little Apple TV things.
Yep.
And I can often be found streaming instead of watching TV as it's broadcast. I'm curious what you guys are doing.
I am using the Apple TV 24 hours, 7 days a week. Using my iPad to AirPlay, that sort of good stuff. Andrew, you have an Apple TV?
Have an Apple TV. I do use it a lot, but I find myself lazy as well. As in, I get home and we put the TV on in the background and we just sort of let it run with whatever commercial channels are on. So I do use the Apple TV, but I tend to sit down and use it as an event to watch something. And you said, Jody, two-thirds of people are using smart TV functionalities. I'm not going to argue that, but that seems awfully high to me. Most people I know who have a smart TV sort of buy it because it's got the bells and whistles, but don't tend to always use all of those sorts of things. They still sort of just use it as a TV for most people who I know.
Well, it does say that although not everybody's using the smart capabilities, that roughly two-thirds of them take advantage of its functionality. So, that could be something as simple as, connecting to YouTube. It may not necessarily mean that they're using all of the features.
Yeah, it could be a bit of a misleading statistic, as you said, sort of taking advantage of it. You know, does that mean, they've got a HDMI connected or something? It's I think it's going to come
a little vague.
Yeah, it is a bit vague, but I think it's going to come in the future. But I'm not convinced people are really they're buying smart TVs, but they're probably buying them because that's what's in the store now to buy. But I'm not convinced people are really using them as smart TVs just yet. You've got your early adopters for sure, but not your general household.
Exactly. Well, I recently got a HD TV smart TV, and I went ahead and got it because it was only like a $35 price difference from the other one I was looking at. Mm. And actually, I knew right away, even though I played with it, I knew beforehand I was going to set up I got the Mac Mini connected to it using XBMC. It has much more functionality that I'm looking for. I see people maybe buying them and kind of playing with it at first and then dropping off after a while. Now, if you have some compelling features like some kind of voice activation, some compelling features, I think they'll use it more. I don't know. We'll see.
Yep, definitely. Roberto, what's your view on that story?
Well, I have a TV and I have kind of like an off-brand Apple TV, quote unquote. It's like a, you know, like a set-top box, because you can get all of those now with Netflix and with Hulu and everything like that. So I always find myself either throwing that on or using my Xbox for Netflix. But I don't even pay for cable. So I just, I mean, even though I like to just, you know, pop on something and leave it in the background, I'll still take the time to just put Netflix on in the background. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my TV habits. I haven't really been compelled to want something that's crazy. I kind of like the dumb panel with my set-top box of choice, and Xbox being one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Xbox is great. I was watching the Rock Awards last night. It was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. The live stuff is really cool. I can't wait for... what are they going to do? They're going to stream something soon. I forgot what it was. But, yeah, yeah. I love the live stuff on
the Xbox event.
Yes, of course. That's what I want to see. Yes, thank you, Brad.
The Xbox event. Yeah, I can't wait for that. It's going to be fantastic. What else, Shady, has been happening?
Well, we've got something exciting coming down the pike. Apple begins their countdown to 50 billion App Store downloads. And they've posted a new contest on the App Store offering a $10,000 gift card to whomever downloads the 50 billionth app from the App Store.
Wow.
Similar to previous promotions. And they said that most earnings call that the company has surpassed 45 billion app downloads. The recent contest was for 25 billion downloads back in February of 2012. This time around, though, Apple's also giving $500 gift cards to the next 50 people to download apps after the 50 billion. So I think that's kind of exciting. You know, it'd be nice to be able to get a $50 download card.
Oh, hell yeah. That'd be fantastic.
Anybody else going to jump in on that?
It's going to be interesting, like trying to – I'm sure there'll be websites with people trying to work out how many they're up to and what number and all that sort of stuff. Is that public knowledge, or is it just sort of – they'll just let us know when it happens?
We just made it public, so.
No, I mean the number of downloads they're up to, like is there a countdown thing of like –
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So there'll probably be websites of people trying to get it at the exact time at like 2:21 a.m. or something. So that's pretty cool. I don't think I'm keen enough to do that, but it's a bit of fun.
It is very fun.
Well, I see me getting struck by lightning 10 times before I'd ever win. You know, there's just so many people using, you know, applications. You'd be really lucky to win.
Exactly. All right, JD, what else has been happening? Roberto, you have a view on that story before you start about it. Roberto, you have a view on that?
Yeah, I agree. I remember when the iTunes one was first happening and they had the little counter on the website, and I didn't even really bother. I was just like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be that guy that wins that.
Cool. All right, JD, what else has been happening?
Well, I mean, you guys might have seen a lot of buzz this week about Google Glass. You know, this is like week two that it's been out there. And apparently the verdict is in, and nobody likes Google Glass except Robert Scoble.
Wow.
So the story is that the elite of the tech world have decided that Google Glass is the future. And perhaps they're right, but Google Glass is clearly not the present, and it's not even the near future. The reviews that are coming in are, there's some ugly truth about Glass. Let's put it this way. The battery life is terrible. Engadget estimated battery life at about 5 hours. And, you know, some people have said that it's closer to 3 hours. The consensus is that it's disorienting and gives you a headache. The screen is hard to see in bright light. Seeing the display in bright sunlight can be a problem. You can't tweak any of the settings in Glass. You can't adjust the volume. You can't adjust the display brightness. Can't disable Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. They seem to be always on. Can't rearrange the application cards in the interface or set the priority. Can't modify the default screen timeout length. And you can't enable a silent or do not disturb mode. And apparently, the voice controls for Glass are kind of buggy. So there's two ways that you can control Glass. One is to touch a panel on the side of Glass, and the other is through voice. So you do something like you say, okay, Glass, then give it a command. And evidently, there's some problems. It doesn't always understand what you're saying and doesn't always respond. Another problem with Glass, you still need a smartphone to use Glass outdoors. it doesn't have built-in cellular data connection, so you have to pair it with a smartphone that has a data connection when you leave your home. And this is going to add to your data plan costs and drain your smartphone battery. Interestingly enough, it's also hard to take it off. Unlike glasses, which usually fold up, glass is one piece, and it can't be made any smaller. So you know, that can be a little bit of a problem. And evidently, responding to messages is tough. It's not easy to edit your responses, and it seems if you speak slowly, clearly, and avoid grammatical contractions, you have a chance of sending a correct email. So apparently there are some issues. And it's funny that everybody seems to agree that the one person who is really, really excited about Google Glass is Robert Scoble. Mm-hmm. And there is a great article in TechCrunch where they have a picture of Robert Scoble in the shower. Oh, I'm sorry. It was in ZDNet. That had a picture of Robert Scoble in the shower. And evidently, our own Andrew Cunningham was one of the first to make Mr. Scoble's shower scene into a little bit of a psycho meme, although there has been a whole Facebook page that's now dedicated to Robert Scoble in the shower, which is scary in and of itself. And wow. I'm just curious, you guys, would you want Google Glass? And if you did, what price point do you think would be a realistic price point for Google Glass?
Price for me, probably about $5. But Andrew Cunningham, I did not know you made that first image, mate. Good on you.
Yeah, I did. But Chris Voss actually, I was talking to Jody before, Chris Voss actually beat me to the punch by about 5 or 10 minutes on it. Wow. But but yeah, a bit of fun. And Robert put that picture up firstly actually on his Facebook. So he sort of put it up and people sort of ran with it from there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's interesting, Google Glass. I'm still a fan of it. I think it's going to be here. I think it's here to stay. It's possible they just released a bit early. I mean, it's not even alpha, I guess. You know, it's pre-alpha. And they've got their explorers. I think there's 1,000 or 1,500 people running around with Google Glass. And I think the media's jumping on it like it's a fully-fledged release product and this is what the product is. Whereas Google is sort of coming out and saying, it's not that at all. This is a product that is still in the laboratories, we're still testing, we're still at least a year, maybe two, away from having a consumer product ready to go. So I think there's a lot of things, like as you said, Jody, you can't change, you know, light, dim, volume, all these sorts of things. And maybe they're expecting some of these explorers to actually give them the feedback to get these default settings right. Maybe that's a part of what this process is at the moment. I'm going to adopt this, but probably just not yet, but I'm still confident this is going to be the way of the future.
All right.
Well, and you, like anything, they usually come in at a higher price point. I think it's right now at about $1,500 for this in the laboratory stage. I love the way you say that, by the way, Andrew. we say laboratory, but that's okay. And laboratory kind of reminds me of lavatory, which is where people usually use the facility, if you know what I'm saying. And I mentioned Google Glass to my buddy Doug, and he had an interesting reaction. He goes, some dude comes in the bathroom wearing those things. I'm going to slug him. So there is some privacy issue, I think.
Well, if Robert never takes them off, which he claims, that means he is going into public bathrooms wearing them. And I know that there's a little button or a light or something that comes on when the actual projector is being used. But the average Joe at the moment doesn't know that. So they see Google Glass and go, you know, I'm on YouTube. So it's definitely a bit creepy, but I think that the $1,500 price, realistically, it's got to come down to sort of $299 or something.
Or even $10.
Cheaper. But the reality is, I don't know why there's no SIM card attached to it. So it's not that difficult for the SIM bay. Mm. And realistically, as you said, Jody, it's going to drain people's phones. So to me, that was just a bit silly, even for this early sort of alpha level. It really should have a SIM bay in it somewhere to be able to access network.
All right, Steve, what's your view on that?
Now, I've talked about it before. Actually, just before your show, on my show, I was talking about Google Glasses. Actually, kind of versus the iWatch, I see a concept of iWatch working better right now. I think Google Glasses, Google tends to put everything into alpha beta for a very long time. So, and then, you know, they should probably wait it till it's more developed But I don't think we're really ready for Google Glasses, even if a lot of this stuff was fixed. I see safety issues and things like that. I don't know. I did see a video that Google come out with the Google Glass. I thought it was excellent. You know, very innovative. But like I said, I think, you know, they're just people are not ready for them yet, but we'll see.
Okay. Roberto, do you have a view on them? I'm not sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if even if all the quote unquote bugs were gone and the whole product was fleshed out and it was delivered to us perfectly, I still don't really see the intrigue. I feel like we're in sort of like a tech, it's praised in the tech bubble to me. You know, it's like if you're really into tech, you know about it, and then two, you're actually like think it's cool. But like my girlfriend isn't very techy, and it creeps her out to think that somebody could just be walking up to her at work and like figuring out who she is, taking a picture of her, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So like, I think the malicious uses of it kind of make people uneasy. So I don't know. It's one of those things like Silicon Valley, everything's like idealized and everything's like all of the good ways you could use technology are put like in the advertisements, and not a lot of people are thinking about the negative sides of it in some ways. So I personally am not a fan. Like, I just don't see like me ever using.
Yeah,
something
I
like
agree.
That,
I agree. And it looks really ugly, especially around your head. It's just doesn't look good. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't know. But Jody, what else has been happening?
Well, this came out as another story in ZDNet, which I guess, you know, could be groundbreaking, but I found it kind of ho-hum. Apparently, Google gets sync. And, you know, Google seems to be everywhere on an increasing basis, you know, with Chrome and Chrome operating system and the Google Glass and Android. And the point of this article was that Google now has synchronization across devices. So if you have your Nexus and 7 and you blew it up or whatever and you bought a new one, you could plug it in and you could pick up where you left off. And I guess the reason I kind of find it ho-hum is because Apple's been doing this forever. I had a experience with one of my Apple computers where the hard drive crashed and I had to get a whole new hard drive installed. And they were able to bring it up to date with everything. I didn't lose a thing. Wow. Because everything was stored in the cloud. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys experience this at all, if you think this is like, you know, groundbreaking stuff for Google. I do like the fact that I can log in from Chrome on any computer, and as long as I log in, it remembers all of my, you know, my setup, my applications that I've, you know, my plugins and all that. But I'm curious if you guys think this is groundbreaking news, or if you've been using this kind of technology anyway.
Not really. Andrew, have you been using it?
Not really. I'm still a bit old school. Like I have stuff on my computer, but I sort of put most of my data on my USB drive and sort of drag that around to whatever computer I'm working on at the moment. I've got a number of cloud accounts. I just haven't made that step into actually putting everything on the cloud and having access to everything everywhere. So it's got to be one of my next things. I really should have done that.
I really love the cloud on the iTunes. You can actually, when you buy a new computer, install iTunes, then you can re-download all your TV shows and movies that you bought. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, Steve.
Definitely. Well, Apple, of course, been using it for quite a while with their iCloud system, and I really like it because I can pick up any device, iPad, iPhone. If I do make a schedule event on the calendar, it automatically updates to all my other devices, so I'm always up to date in the iCloud. You know, appointments, phone numbers, contacts. Do it on one device, it updates, you know, the rest of them.
Definitely. All right. Roberta, what's your view on that?
I've used, like, here and there iCloud, like, the, what's it called, the photo sync feature. That seems to work sometimes, but then again, like, it's not as reliable as Apple claims it to be. So other than that, I guess the only other thing that I use would be Dropbox once in a while. And I use Evernote a lot.
Oh, yeah,
so,
nice.
But I don't really rely like my whole, you know, my critical files. I don't really have a lot of stuff on there. Maybe Dropbox, I would say, would be the only place if I want a backup, I'll throw it on there.
No, do you use a Mac, do you, Roberto, for your main computer? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, nice one. Yeah, good one. All right, JD, what else? Any other new stories?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. we don't have any Star Trek fans, do we?
I don't know. Do we? No, not really. I'm not really.
Not me.
I kind of like it, but.
Oh, come on. You guys, you know you are Trekkies. And you got to mark the date. Okay, Friday, May 10th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, U.S., 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S., for a live chat hosted by Andy Samberg and featuring director J.J. Abrams and Star Trek legend George Takei. They're going to discuss their Star Trek experiences, fan engagement on Facebook, and an upcoming feature film, Star Trek Into the Darkness.
Wow.
Yay!
Sounds good.
Well, I don't know about you guys. I'm pretty excited about it. I like Star Trek.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not just Star Trek that I'm excited about, but J.J. Abrams himself, because he makes a lot of other good shows. I think he does Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel spinoff series, and a few others. So, wow. Oh, Firefly, that's another one. So okay. A lot of his shows I really like.
All right. Andrew, are you a fan of that show? Or?
Yeah, I don't mind it, but I'm more of a Star Wars. I guess I haven't really ever gotten into Star Trek. It's good that J.J. Abrams is really opening up to the fans because they've got such a huge following, and it's fantastic that they're sort of going out there and seeing what people, you know, are saying and embracing that community. So I think that's a really good thing, you know, that they're doing there.
All right, Roberto, do you have a view on that?
I probably will watch it. I don't know. I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, but I do think the movie was really good. His last directed movie was great. So I'll check it out. You know, I think it's cool also, like you were saying, or how he's opening up for questions. That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool. All right, JD, you have any new stories? Or?
Yeah, we got one or two more. So, you know, it's official that Hotmail is dead. The company announced they completed the transition from the email service to the new Outlook.com, which boasts more than 400 million accounts. They've been focusing throughout the upgrade on ensuring that every customer has a great experience, according to them. And along with a more modern interface, the Outlook email client introduces several features, such as two-factor authentication, which is kind of important these days, an updated calendar and app, and integration with cloud service SkyDrive and Skype. Users with Hotmail addresses can continue to use those accounts as long as they choose. However, Hotmail address owners can opt to claim an Outlook email address. So I don't know if you guys have those old Hotmail addresses. I know I used to have one, but then I grew up. if anybody still has your Hotmail addresses.
I've still got my Hotmail address, and I still actually use it a bit for just sort of some of those old things, like when I buy tickets and stuff like that. I've still got a number of things that point to my Hotmail, but I'm not ready to bring them onto my Gmail account. So I kind of go there to keep an eye on that. And it has been really interesting watching it go from absolutely dead Hotmail platform, which was horrible to use, to gradually bringing the user interface, bringing user experience up to the point now where it's actually a pretty good experience. It's a really good, comfortable use. I used to cringe when I had to go over there to grab an email. Now it's quite comfortable. So they're doing a whole lot of work, but the reality is it's just too little too late. I think it's just been too many years without doing anything and the market's shifted too far.
All right. Steve, what's your view on that?
I do kind of have a funny story with Hotmail, and originally it was another company that originally came out with it. Then they bought it, Microsoft, and during that time it was using like a Linux or Unix-based operating system. So they tried to put their Microsoft server on there. It couldn't handle the load, so they had to go back to using what they did originally. Now I think they had it fixed eventually, but I thought it was kind of a funny story.
Cool. Roberto, do you still use Hotmail?
I have one, and I tell you, I use it just for any service that I think might be something that will spam me, and then I'll just throw it on there. But, I mean, I agree. It's too little too late. You know, Microsoft keeps trying to kind of take their old properties and put a new coat of paint on them, and they're trying to do that with IE. And I don't know. I mean, maybe they need to break completely away from those old brand properties and just do something different like they did with Bing and not try to call it something that they've already had for ages. Because I know they're trying to call it Outlook, but people don't care. You know, people still think it's Microsoft MSN or whatever they're calling it, Live, or so many different names. But I think Apple suffers from that too, because of they're changing it, changing the name of their email a million times. I don't even use it now. I just use Gmail.
Yeah, same. I use email and I use my Live email address sometimes. But,
Look, Microsoft have tried to run into the social by creating that Circle, SO.CL sort of platform.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone used that or heard of that? So, I mean, they are, you know, as you just said, Roberta, they are trying to do things, but I just think they're doing them really badly.
Yeah, I agree with JD. It lasted for 2 minutes and then went dead.
Yeah.
Okay, JD, any other news stories?
We have one more news flash, very exciting news story, and that is Brad moves from Windows to Mac.
I do.
Tell us about it.
I did indeed. And so far, I'm loving it. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really nice to use. I like it.
What did you get?
A Mac Mini for starters, and see what happens from there. And yeah, it's really nice, really easy to use, and I can do more things on this than I can do on Windows.
Okay, and, like what kinds of things are you finding are easier to do on the Mac?
I like using iMovie, the browser's really nice, wallpapers are great, and Skype is very easy to use.
Cool. Well, how about integration with your iPad, iPhone?
Oh yeah, that's really cool too. Yeah, I haven't really noticed anything about that, but yeah, I really like the iPad and the iPhone on it as well. It's really good.
Yay, we got a new Mac fanboy.
I wouldn't say that. Steve, what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, I kind of mentioned before, it'd be great for you because since you have some of the iOS devices, you know, integration using the iCloud, like I said, scheduling, which I use.
Yeah.
You can use any one of your devices. Now you got to set it up a little bit. And it transfers all that information to all the other devices, so you don't have to do it like two or three times.
Oh, sweet, sweet. Yeah, I really like the volume noise too when it makes that volume noise. That's really cool. And the time.
It's annoying.
And when it tells you the time too, that's really cool too. That's really cool. Okay, Andrew, any other questions before we jump into the guest?
Not really. No, that sounds good. Thanks for the news items, Jody.
Yeah, thanks,
a fair bit happening this week by the looks of it.
Yeah, it did. Indeed.
Absolutely.
All right, Andrew, let's jump into the guest, mate. Who do we have on?
Okay, we have got Roberto Hoyos from Throwboy Pillow in Seattle, Washington. Roberto, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me again.
All right.
Not a problem at all. It's great to have you on, and you've got some really awesome products. You know, some of the pillows and things that you're doing there. You've got a Kickstarter campaign as well that you've launched. I had a look at that this morning. It looks like that's starting to get some legs as well. Tell us a little bit about that and what you've been up to since you were last on the show.
Sure. So my company is called Throwboy, and we make geeky tech-themed throw pillows. So some of our pillows that we've done look like the Mac icons, so like, you know, the Finder and the dashboard and iTunes, so on. And we've also done some that look like the Facebook like button and the subscribe button from YouTube. And one of our big sellers has been our chat pillows. They're little pillows that look like speech bubbles, and they say LOL, OMG, WTF, and other internet or tech slang. So right now, Throwboy is basically run out of my apartment in Seattle, and I do basically everything from sewing to cutting fabric to shipping the orders and all the online marketing and everything like that. That's basically behind the scenes. It's been pretty much me for the whole time. And right now I'm trying to do a Kickstarter to take Throwboy to a new level and be able to get a large production of our chat pillows made, so that we can start getting them into stores and also other countries to have like a much faster turnaround to customers and really just kind of take Throwboy to a new level, because, you know, it's we've gained so many fans, and there's like kind of like this big support system around Throwboy. And now I want to, you know, do something beyond what I can do by myself. So I need that extra push with the Kickstarter.
Well, good stuff. And do you just, is it just you that works by yourself, Roberto, or how many people work with you?
So I work pretty much with me, I work alone, but then I also have a seamstress who sews. So when I have kind of like a lot of stuff, we'll do tandem sewing together.
Okay.
And I also have a little mom and pop place that does the embroidery for some of our pillows, but mainly it's just kind of like in my little area here. And I when I started, I did everything, you know, everything myself, but for the most part, yeah, I do everything on my own.
Sweet. Good on you. Steve, any questions?
Actually, I do. Since you're trying to expand into more markets, it's kind of like a two-part question. So do you see getting more employees to, you know, to be able to go to more markets? And what type of markets are you looking to sell these pillows into, computer stores or maybe like thinkgeek.com or something like that?
So for starters, when we get the pillows produced, that's going to be done in a factory. So most of that I don't have to have, you know, hands-on. That's kind of the goal, is that I'm not doing everything like I do today where it's all hands-on. Because my goal starting Throwboy was never to just be like, I want to sew for the rest of my life. You know, it was to make really great products and, you know, eventually have like a factory take over and do them. So, so that part of it probably won't immediately make me need to have new employees. But eventually, yeah, I mean, I'd love to build a little team where we can be able to, you know, have an office and, you know, the kind of the whole just small business thing. And we'll obviously need some people to do shipping and all that kind of stuff too. So luckily, the thing I like about how I started is that I know everything inside and out. I know everything from making the physical product to shipping it, to marketing it, to everything. So it's been a good learning experience. So I'm able to, you know, use that knowledge when I grow it. And then your other question was getting them, what kind of markets I wanted to get them into.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking to expand to kind of like a lot of different kinds of stores, you know, department stores. I would love to get them in stores like in America, we have a store called Target. I would love to get them in a place like that. But also, you know, it's cool because the chat pillow is kind of, when I started, the chat lingo was kind of new. And now, you know, fast forward 5 years later, it's kind of commonplace. So I think that it can work on two levels. It can work in like kind of a normal store, big box store, but it can also work online, like you were saying, like ThinkGeek. ThinkGeek actually carried the Throwboy pillows for a little while. So I would love to revisit that. We're talking to a website called fab.com that sells designer wares, and I think it would be a good fit there too. So there's kind of a lot of options. That's kind of the reason I went with the chat pillows, to do a bulk run, because I think that they kind of have that versatility to get into a lot of places, and I think a lot of people like them. So that's what we're doing.
Have you considered sort of trying to get some celebrity throwers to, you know, take a few pillows or take them out at night or something, just the little, you know, baby throw boys, something like that, for a bit of fun, just to try and get some more profile around it?
Yeah, definitely. As of right now, I've done a lot of kind of collaborations with YouTube celebrities. So a lot of the YouTube celebrities have embraced Throwboy early on. And now they've grown a lot because YouTube is kind of like big money now. So a lot of them, you know, will still talk about Throwboy, even though, you know, most of their stuff, I'm sure people have to pay to have a sponsored ad. So that helped out a lot in the beginning. But, you know, the other thing about it is that I don't really have just available product. Everything that we do on our website is made at the time of order. So, you know, having the Kickstarter funded would allow me to do that, like you're saying, you know, give out pillows for different people to be able to show off, you know, all like kind of it's like the sky's the limit for giving out product for promotional sake. So that's another thing I'm really looking forward to, is kind of focusing on marketing and promotion rather than hands-on sewing and, you know, physical production.
All right. Jody, any questions?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to kind of explain a little bit for the listeners what the Kickstarter program is, because I think the audience may or may not understand that what the purpose is to try to raise funds so Roberto can manufacture the pillows. But it's not just that people can donate. Like anybody, and Roberto, tell me if I'm explaining this correctly or not, but it appears that so far you've got 81 backers. You've got so far $5,758 towards your goal of $20,000, and you have 22 days to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate so far? Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
So, audience, what you can do is you can go to throwboy.com, and
you can go to throwboy.com/Kickstarter, or you can search Throwboy on Kickstarter.com.
Okay, and then you've got different levels, it appears, where people can pledge different amounts of money and they can receive pillows. You want to explain a little bit about how that works?
Yes. So we have these things called backer rewards on Kickstarter. So if you become a backer by pledging money, then you can receive one of many rewards. So in the early tiered rewards, like for, say, $10, you can get a sticker sheet that's just has Throwboy stickers. It's an exclusive thing we're doing for the Kickstarter. And on the back of that sheet, it has a little history of how the company started. And then the next level is a $20 level, and you'll get one of our brand new chat pillows. And the new chat pillows are really nice. I don't know if you guys have Throwboy pillows, but we've changed the material that they're being made out of, so that it's a lot softer, and it's just a little bit bigger, so it's a good size now as far as like the comparison to the other one. I really put a lot of detail into what we do now, but I think we've kicked it up a notch even better. So these are the kind of new and improved chat pillows. So that's the $20 level. You can get a whole set of them, which would be WTF, LOL, and OMG at the $55 level. And we even have
That's a good deal, too.
It really is. Because normally our pillows are $29 plus shipping. So now you're getting a pillow for $20 with shipping included and international shipping included.
That's good.
So you can get a really killer deal if you don't live in the States.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a seriously good deal.
The $55 one is a real bargain.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a really good level if you're looking to back. You get three pillows, right there and there. And then the new and improved Throwboy pillows.
$20, that can be an awesome gift for somebody too, and something a bit unique and a talking point.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have the prototype ones that we've had factory made, and I'm always kind of like, I have it on my couch. I'm always kind of like laying on it whenever I'm like laying down. And it's a great new pillow. So I think everyone's going to really like it. But the other one that's a really big reward that we have is our ICEO doll. I don't know if you guys know about that.
No,
that's like the coolest one ever.
Actually, that's the one I wanted to ask you about, because it says it's limited edition. Are you going to make more of those? Because I'd be interested in getting one.
Yeah, so what happened was we did this doll called the ICEO. It's a Steve Jobs-inspired plush doll. And we only did 1,200. We did a small run, and they got sold out really quickly on our website. They were sold out in like a week. And we ended up keeping like kind of our a little stash of them, and now we're just going to be blowing out the very last few that we have on the Kickstarter. So the only way now to get an ICEO is to back the Kickstarter. It's at the $100 level, and again, shipping is included, and that's for international as well. So if you want one internationally, it's all shipping is included. And these are the final ICEOs. So this is a total collector's item. I've seen them go on eBay for $200, $300. So this is something that's one of those Apple collector's items. They're all hand numbered on the box.
Wow.
It's a really, really nice product. I was really happy with it. It was kind of like a labor of love because I'm a huge Apple nerd, and it was something I wanted to make for years. So I'm glad that we finally got to do it. And like I said, these are the last ones. So I'm probably going to have to say that for a long time because a lot of people have told me they want them. So it's really like you have to get them within the Kickstarter time frame or you'll never see them again unless you hunt on eBay or something, you know?
Definitely. Roberto, will you be making any pillows for beds and stuff, like where you can sleep on them, like bed pillows?
I've thought about that. You know, Throw Boy, like kind of the whole idea around it was to make like really cool pillows, like our own take on pillows.
Yeah.
So I thought about doing bed pillows and larger pillows and just kind of other plush products. So, you know, the Kickstarter is kind of like going to hopefully allow me to explore those new things because of just being able to have product in hand rather than having to make everything and it kind of gives it more flexibility. So yeah, I would love to do that.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. It's going to be great.
I've got my own social platform myself and I'm looking at these things just thinking, wouldn't it be cool if I could put like my logo on there and hand them out as sort of gifts or promotional items or something? Is that an avenue that you've considered going down, like getting companies who can buy them in bulk and sort of put them out there with their logo?
Yeah, I do that from time to time, kind of. I don't really advertise it very much, but sometimes I do custom pillows for companies, like you're saying. And I mentioned in my video, if you watch the Kickstarter video, I've done pillows for different companies, notably Twitter has done pillows with me. I've done some for Microsoft. I've done some for Mozilla. And just a lot of other tech companies have approached Throwboy for that. So that's always kind of been my idea, is to have you know, sort of two businesses almost, where we're doing kind of almost like swag type stuff for companies, and then also do our own products, our own you know, brand stuff. So yeah, I would love to keep that going, because that's something that's really kind of been going on since the beginning of Throwboy, is doing those two types of things, or two types of pillows.
Definitely. All right, Jody, any more questions before we wrap up?
No, I just want to encourage everybody to check out the Kickstarter promotion. And, you know, I think it's exciting. And, you know, I hope you reach the goal. What happens if you don't reach the goal?
So if you don't reach the goal, you don't get any of the funding. It's all or nothing. And, you know, that's one of the things that Kickstarter, that's how Kickstarter works. You either get all the funding or you don't get the funding.
Wow.
So, so that's kind of like the do or die, right? It's that's why I'm trying to, you know, tell as many people as possible and really kind of champion this whole new phase of Throwboy. It's so kind of like a renaissance.
So you have 21 days left. Is that correct, Roberto? 21 days?
22, I think, yeah.
Is that 2 weeks? I mean, is that 2 weeks or what? 2 weeks or?
Yeah, just about.
Three,
right?
Three weeks. All right.
So it'd be great to have you back on the show too after the Kickstarter, particularly if you get it funded. It'd be fantastic to hear about what, you know, your plans are and what you want to do. Yeah,
definitely. Sure. If you guys want to check out, I'm doing updates on my YouTube page. I'm doing vlog updates. It's just youtube.com/throwboypillows. And I'm doing this little series of me kind of going through the whole Kickstarter campaign. What do you call it? Like campaign trail. So okay. Every day is a new thing of what I have to do for the campaign.
All right.
I love when people ahead, use YouTube for something positive.
Yeah, that's definitely. Nice. Definitely. Definitely. I agree. Jade, where can I get you on Twitter and stuff? We need to wrap up. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept, SunSwept.
Okay.
And you can find me in the usual places as either Jody Rains, or you can find me as webmarcom.net.
And you can get me on Twitter at Brad Owls and Tech Webcast. Andrew, where can I get you at, mate?
You can get me zafo.com/@Andrew or on Twitter and Facebook, Ari From Oz, ArifromOz. And thank you a lot for coming on the show there, Roberto.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I agree with Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto. Andrew, before you go, any Zafo updates before we go, mate? Any Zafo?
Just working away on our app. We've started doing a couple of the early alpha distributions to our own internal phones, and we're sort of getting there. So we are on track, mate. We're on track. And I will certainly let you know and the listeners know when we've got some public release ready to go.
All right, good stuff. Steve, where can they get you at, mate?
You can get me on Twitter at chatterbox_live, and of course, justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude for the live version of the Tech Webcast.
Good stuff, and this has been recorded on my Mac. That's been cool. Jody, where can they get you at? I asked you, I haven't. Already
you did.
I just want to check. I don't want to forget. Is that it, Andrew?
I think you can find me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, Roberto. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Roberto.
Just one last plug. It's just at Throwboy on Twitter and throwboy.com/Kickstarter for the Kickstarter.
Definitely, definitely. That Kickstarter is great. Yeah, I'm going to pledge some money to whatever. All right. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you, mate.
Not a problem, Brad. It's been great.
And you're off to the footy today, are you?
Not sure. The plan is to go to the footy, but I may not be. It might be afternoon of house hunting, so we'll see how we go.
Whereabouts are you looking for houses in? What part?
Sort of Pascoe Vale, Glenroy, sort of where I am now. So just sort of outer suburbs of Melbourne, sort of 15-minute, 20-minute train ride into the city from here. So, yeah, should be good. I'll keep you in touch anyway and let you know
how we go. You should move to Richmond.
Maybe. It's a lot of friends on this side of town, though, so we'll probably stay here.
Yeah, good point. All right, thanks, guys, for being on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jody. Thanks, Steve and Andrew.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time. May the tech be with you. Peace.